Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation as our first show in July. A very, very, very warm July. Thankfully, here in the studio, we have got some air conditioning. You have to forgive me as my brain sort of reconstitutes from its melted state as I stare out into the streets here up by up in Islington. It is just... It's mind-numbingly hot. I'm just recovering with the sort of studio air conditioning, so let me sort of slip into gear. You'll have to sort of wake up with me, I'm afraid, dear listener. We've got a wonderful show in store today. We have the wonderful Lachlan Verner coming in. Lachlan is a... I'll read... It'll sound like bullying, but this is the description from his own Instagram bio. The ventriloquist puff idiot. That is their description of themselves. So there you go. Lachlan is a brilliant comedian, and indeed, as you can guess from that description, ventriloquist. He'll be going to the Edinburgh Fringe. They'll be joining me in just a moment, about the half-hour mark. Before that, we'll be chatting to Maisie Adam, the brilliant comedian from Soccer Aid, from Live at the Apollo, League of Their Own, all the top TV shows. Maisie is campaigning for more involvement, more passion, more screening, indeed, of women's sports. So we had a lovely chat with her, and that will be coming up in about 15 minutes. But for now, I'm flying solo. I sadly have no co-host for the start of the show today. I did have the wonderful Jen Ives booked in, but due to my own fault, I would like to excuse Jen here. I did not send a confirmation email, so we've lost Jen. But I wanted to shout her out and go check out Jen's podcast, Lobotomy World. Follow Jen at I'm Jen Ives. She's very, very funny. And I apologise for my lack of admin that she cannot be in the studio to prove that for herself. But do go check her out. She's absolutely brilliant. For now, it's just me. It's just me and the headlines, which are, mostly sort of failings of Keir Starmer, as they seem to be week on week now. It's impressive. We're coming up to a year of the Labour government. I can't think of a single tangible thing that they've actually really achieved. It's been very interesting. Obviously, Glastonbury has been the main attention and furore of the weekend. Lots of stuff happened at Glastonbury. Mainly, there was fear around Kneecap's performance, of course, the Irish rap trio Kneecap. By the way, I quite like Kneecap. I don't like their music. That's not really my thing. But I like what they stand for. I'm hesitant to deify anybody particularly, but I like their message, and I like their spreading of Irish language, despite, of course, producer Kieran's hatred of speaking Osqualga. He's very, very anti-Irish. I don't know why we employ him, really. But what they do, Kneecap, obviously... It's criticised a lot by lots of different sects and lots of different corners, especially of the sort of right-wing press. And the thing that they don't focus on enough is that DJ Provi, the man in the Irish ski mask, he's like a 40-year-old bloke. He's just a teacher. Everyone's like, oh, they're very dangerous. Like, if you really want to bring Kneecap down, just expose that the DJ is just a bit of a lame middle-aged dad. He's not actually a dad, but, you know, he's got that energy. That's what, if you really want to take Kneecap down, and I don't. I like Kneecap. I like what they stand for. But if you really want to take them down, you know, DJ Provi, he should be in Millets, you know. He should be going camping on the weekend. He should be doing that. So he should be reviewing service stations. He shouldn't be in a rap trio. That's, if you want to, just a little advice for the far right, if you want to take Kneecap down. Anyway, there's a lot of fear around Kneecap and Kneecap's performance. So the BBC refused to broadcast their production live. And instead, they broadcast the punk duo Bob Villain, who actually I was a fan of before. This is my main annoyance for the weekend, is I liked Bob Villain before this weekend. I went to see them live in Bristol. I saw them at Boardmasters 2 years ago. I met Bob Villain. He signed my record. He's a lovely guy. I'm really the biggest victim of the weekend because I knew Bob Villain before it was cool. But anyway, the point is, they broadcast Bob Villain because they were worried that, you know, Kneecap might say Free Palestine. And instead, Bob Villain did this.
All right, but have you heard this one, though? Death to the IDF! Death to the IDF!
Which, whatever you think, whatever your politics are, whatever you think of that chant, or whether it should be prosecuted or investigated, or thought it was the greatest thing ever, that is objectively funny. That, just imagine the BBC production room. That's hilarious. They're like, okay, we've got the Kneecap thing under control. We'll sort of like edit it and put it out on iPlayer. Oh, is that Bob Villain stream going? Oh, great.
All right, but have you heard this one, though? Death to the IDF. death to the IDF.
Oh, the panic that must have induced. That is, whatever you think, that is objectively hilarious. Just the BBC fuck up on that one. Now, it's interesting the sort of the furore and backlash that this has caused. You know, a lot of people have sort of called it a hate crime, even though the IDF is sort of an international military force committing war crimes and acts of terror globally, but specifically, of course, in Palestine, Lebanon, Yemen. So it's not really a group that can be a victim of a hate crime, I don't think. But the interesting thing is that there's like people are saying, "Oh, it's inciting violence," which I appreciate. Those are the words of violence, but I don't think anybody in that Glastonbury field is going to be incited to take on the IDF. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yes, they've got 400 quid for a Glastonbury weekend ticket, maybe even 800 quid if you're glamping. But I don't know that they've got the money for an F2 fighter jet. I don't think it's inciting violence in the same way go burn down this hotel is inciting violence. It's just to quote a specific thing that's being sort of labelled as hypocrisy, the jailing of Lucy Connolly. Again, I don't want to get into that, but because the thing that annoys me about these hypocrisy chants, sorry, I'm getting a bit James O'Brien here, it's a bit more LBC than it is comedy, but I'm floating, I'm treading water, I've got no co-host in the studio, Kieran's panicking behind the glass, he doesn't know what I'm going to say, maybe I'll play the IDF audio again.
Aye, but have you heard this one, though?
I should stop playing this.
Death to the IDF! Death to the IDF!
But I'm purely playing that out of a journalistic standard to report. So you can't come for me. I legally you can't do anything against me. This is my journalistic integrity, my right to play that audio as much as I want. But look, point is. The hypocrisy, this is what the people always talk about. They always talk about hypocrisy. Now, they say it's hypocritical that somebody saying burn down hotels holding refugees is inciting violence, but saying death to the IDF isn't. But I'm just like, why, if you're really a proponent of free speech, if you really believe that you're against an authoritarian government, you should be defending both of those people. And it's just, it reminds me, it brings to mind when there was talk of Bernie Sanders like wiping all student debt and stuff like that, and getting rid of all those outstanding monies owed. People were like, well, I paid off my loan. It's like, well, great, you know how shit it is. You know how horrible it is to have that debt hanging over you. Why do you, your argument is like, oh, well, I want other people to suffer as well. I don't know. I don't think it's hypocrisy. I think you're just like, I get you're angry. You're angry about that thing and you're allowed to be angry about it. But why does your anger manifest in being like, oh, well, let me take down someone else as well? I don't know. We're just very sort of, partisan in that sort of stuff. And if you want to talk about hypocrisy, the real hypocrite here is Keir Starmer, right? Because, well, if for many, many reasons, this will be a very wide-ranging intro chat. As I say, I absolutely have no idea what's happening. I'm just sort of talking off the cuff here. But Keir Starmer has obviously condemned Bob Villain, as have many, many people. But, this is part of a wider campaign of Keir Starmer and the current Labour government to silence voices that are pro-Palestinian. They've prescribed Palestine Action as a terrorist organisation who have committed no violence, who are in possession of no weapons, who do nothing that constitutes terror whatsoever. What they did is they broke into RAF Bryce Norton and they spray-painted a fighter jet. That's not terrorism. But here's the hypocritical thing. If you actually want to talk about hypocrisy, let's talk about hypocrisy of the upper government, the people that actually make the laws and the rules. Because Keir Starmer and his government, and Yvette Cooper, is prescribing that terrorism. But in 2003, Keir Starmer defended that exact same action, right? In fact, even worse, because it was damaging rather than just painting. In 2003, protesters broke into RAF Fairford and damaged fighter jets on the way to the Iraq War because they were anti-Iraq War protesters. And Keir Starmer defended that. In his position as the head of CPS, in his position in the justice system, he thought that that was justifiable. But now, because it's Palestine, because it's Israel, not so much. So yeah, he's just a spineless blob of a human. What a waste of space, of just a moral vacuum. Actually, I don't want to call him spineless. I don't want to even give him any sort of physical, disability. Because if he did have a physical disability, he'd be struggling under his own government. He wouldn't be getting any pip. He wouldn't be getting any welfare reforms. He's just a horrible, horrible man. Anyway, look, the IDF thing that confuses me is it's not discrimination or a hate crime because, it's not against a particular protected characteristic. People say, well, the IDF are mostly Jewish or whatever. But, this isn't about Judaism. There are countless Jews that are anti-IDF as well. Just because the majority of an organisation is one religion doesn't mean criticising that organisation is against that religion. What if I said death to ISIS? Is that Islamophobic? Or if I said, death to the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, death to MILFs? Is that Islamophobic? Am I committing a hate crime here by saying death to MILFs? Because that's the position. Yeah, I prescribe a lot of things to be the position of Fubar Radio, but this week we're really going to test the limits, see if the radio CEO listens. This is the position of Pulse the Nation, Fubar Radio, Andrew White. I won't put producer Kieran, because I already accuse him of so much anti-Irish racism. That he doesn't commit, by the way, just to clear the record. I won't put him in this statement, but I will put my show on the line here. Death to MILFs. That's what we're saying here. Death to MILFs. We're gonna, stick our colours to the mast. That's the message of today's show. Give us a tweet, hashtag death to MILFs. Instagram, hashtag death to MILFs. That's the sort of thrust of today's show. That's gone on a lot longer than I wanted it to. I don't know how it's gone down at home. I don't know if anyone's listening. Give me a text. Why not? 0787-333-566. That is not the number of Fubar Radio. That is my own personal phone number. Give us a message. Why not? I did write down some more sort of gentle things as well. I was meant to do a whole review of like the end of Pride. We've come to the end of Pride Month. Oh, that's another thing, actually. Sorry, I'm sticking on this. I will talk about Pride before we go to the break. People always say, like, oh, how can you be a queer for Palestine? Do you know what they do to gays in Palestine? Oh, they throw them off of buildings. They throw stones at them. First of all, that's not true, right? In the West Bank, homosexual activity is legal. In Gaza, it is illegal. You can be imprisoned. But there's no death penalty for being gay. Secondly, even if that was true, it's like, oh, you know, Hamas throws stones at gay people. Israel bombs gay people. I say, like, oh, the gay Palestinians are oppressed. Yeah, they're being murdered by the Israelis. That's way much worse. Well, we have to sort that out before we can look at gay rights in Palestine. Oh, they throw them off of rooftops. Well, good job. There's no rooftops left. Thank you, IDF. Also, that's such a boring trope that's been going on for decades. So the gays are thrown off a rooftop. That's just plainly not true. Anyway, look. I will move away from that topic now. I don't know why. I've touched it obviously previous weeks, but this week with Bob Villain, it's particularly got my goat. Just before I do move on to our Pride review, I'll recommend three songs from Bob Villain. We Live Here, GDP, and I Heard You Want Your Country Back is pretty good. Those are from their two albums, their first albums, We Live Here and Price of Life. Both very, very good. I recommend them. Anyway, let's do a quick Pride roundup because we are at the end of Pride and we'll head into a break. I'll have a little debrief with producer Kieran, see how that went down in the production booth. But yeah, it's been interesting. Obviously, the Pride has come to an end, and as it happens every week, every year, Pride Month comes around, and companies stick rainbows on every single product. Every single product gets a rainbow, and I'm just going to review my top three favourite rainbow products from Pride. Obviously, it didn't make an appearance this year, but it's an iconic classic. It's the M&S LGBT sandwich, lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato. Not only do I think it's very, very fun and clever to have the LGBT, but I think guacamole was the perfect thing there. Obviously, there's very few things you could make the G in the LGBT. But guacamole, I think, works. I think that works in that combination. My second favourite product is Listerine. Listerine Cool Mint. It's just regular Listerine Cool Mint. It's just mouthwash with a rainbow through it, I guess. I don't know. I do fall for this sort of stuff. I am wearing rainbow shoes right now, actually. I don't know if that could show on camera. Wearing my Adidas rainbow trainers, which got me into trouble before, actually. I said to Kieran, I said, I don't know if I'll be able to do like 5 minutes at the top of the show. We might have to go to the ads early. We're 13 minutes in. Anyway, point is, I've got these Adidas rainbow trainers. And I got quite, liberal with them. I was like, oh yeah, no, that shows what people who I am. I'm quite happy with that. I like it. Stomping around London, especially because, I come from the West Country. There's not a lot of, openly gay people are walking around the West Country as they are in London. So I come up into London, right? Go on the tube. This is coming out of COVID, about 2021. coming on the tube, and there's a gay couple holding hands. And I didn't realise, as I say, I'm not exposed to gay people out in the wild, that gay relationships just existing happily. And I realise I'm staring at them. And they realise that I'm staring at them. And I'm like, oh God, no, I'm not. I'm like, how do I let them know that I'm like happy? Like, I'm staring like out of joy, like, oh, isn't this nice? But I can't smile because I've got a mask on. It's coming out of COVID. So I think, oh, I'll show them my rainbow shoes. So they're there holding hands, and they look at me, and I'm staring at them. I realise, and I go, oh, and I like lift up my foot. So I'm like lifting up my foot, like sort of gesturing towards them. And they look down, and they're like really concerned. And I'm like, oh, what's happening? Look down, not wearing my rainbow trainers. I swear to God, I've been wearing my rainbow trainers all week. Normally, it's the easiest slip-on trainers. I don't know why I chose today of all days to not wear my rainbow trainers, but there I was just committing a hate crime on the tube, just sort of kicking at a gay couple who I'd been staring at. There you go. I do like some rainbow products. Listerine Cool Mint of the rainbow products is number two. The only annoying thing about this is often they're more expensive. We don't get a kickback, by the way. There's not some sort of profit share system for all these rainbow products. But my number one, this has sort of been the highlight of Pride Month this year. It's been made the rounds a little bit. Garnier Micellar Water Pride Edition. Fantastic. What a beautiful again, more expensive, exact same product, just got a rainbow on it. God bless corporations doing their best to help with pride. Right, we are now going to head into break. After the break, I'll be talking to Maisie Adam about women's sports, about the upcoming Women's Euros, which kick off tomorrow. And then after Maisie, we'll have the brilliant Lachlan Verner. So yes, we'll see you in just a moment.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back. And we've got our first ever text. I've been giving out my personal number on this radio show for pretty much since we began. I think episode one I gave out my personal phone number. And I've actually got a text. I have no idea who it's from. I've gotten the initials RH. It says, "Leave us MILFs alone, angry face." So thank you. It's good to know there's a live listener out there willing to text in. So thank you, whoever that was. Appreciate that message. Very, very funny. "Leave us MILFs alone." I won't. I'm afraid the message of today, the message of FUBAR Radio, of Pulse of the Nation, of Andrew White here on Tuesday the 1st of July. Death to the MILFs. Anyway, on that note, probably not the best transition, especially as we're about to talk about something a lot more lighthearted and also something very dear to both my heart and our upcoming guest's heart. We're going to go to our chat with Maisie Adam. So we had Maisie Adam in to talk about women's football, the upcoming Women's Euros, and the initiative by Green King, who are going to be broadcasting every single minute of the Women's Euros, this match, in their pubs, and there's even some exciting chants. So yes, there's lots. I'm just going to let you enjoy it. Here is the wonderful Maisie Adam. Hello, yes. my dear friend, wonderful comedian and absolute legend, Maisie Adam. Hello.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, how are you? Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's very weird to sort of to come together via a PR company. It feels like we should just be hanging out down the pub.
It's like we've fallen out.
Yeah.
Now we're like, only go through the PRs, please. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, we need a mediator. Are you in a pub right now? It looks like you're in a pub setting.
I am in a pub. Yeah, don't worry. You don't need to intervene. It's not... I'm here very much excited for the Women's Euros. I'm in a Green King pub, and the reason I mention that, Andrew, is they are doing this incredible thing where they have pledged to show every minute of every game of the Women's Euros in every pub nationwide, which is so exciting for the fans who won't be going to Switzerland and want to watch it here at home.
That is fantastic. That really, because honestly, one of the best experiences of my football watching life has been enjoying the football in the pub. And I think that should definitely be a part of the women's game as well.
Exactly. Like, it's such a, it's like people always say, like, football is nothing without the fans, but it's so true. And one of the main places that fans love to gather outside of the stadium is the pub. But certainly, like, my experience with trying to watch the women's game in a lot of pubs is that it's either impossible or requires you to have to go up to the bar and request that they change one of the eight screens to be showing the women's game, sort of done with a bit of a huff or a, like, it's a massive inconvenience. And that sends such a message to people about who football is for, and it just kind of perpetuates this sort of idea that people aren't interested in the women's game, which obviously we've seen since the Women's Euros win back in 2022 is not the case. It's the fastest growing sport in the world. People do want to watch it. It's just up to other people to make sure that that's platformed and available.
Yeah.
So it's really, really good of Green King to be doing this. And you're going to love this, Andrew.
Look at this, they've got
chant books.
Oh, wow.
Imagine like a sort of hymn book for the pub. That's what they are.
That's amazing.
And they've got a load of chants that you can get to learn with your
friends.
One
for Lauren Hemp there on that page, yeah.
And they're all sort of, some of them are around just the team in general. A lot of them are specific to a certain player. A couple I've written myself, actually.
So, oh, have you? Go on, give us a blast.
I don't think I'm. I don't think Taylor Swift should be worried about her job. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
But I did. I think you'll respect this. I've written a chant that is to Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5 that contains the name of every single player in the squad. Do you
know how hard
that is to write, Andrew?
That's very, very impressive. And yeah, no wonder you need it printed out. That's such a dense lyric.
I'm so worried that, like, whoever saw me, because I wrote it on the way back from a gig on the train, and I had my headphones in, and I just had to keep replaying Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5 to sort of check that the so that I could fit a lot of
that it all scanned, yeah.
And so I think if anybody was on that same train that day, they'll have thought Maisie Adam was having a bit of a breakdown. She was sort of nodding along furiously to Lou Bego's Mambo Number 5 whilst viciously taking notes into a notebook. But that's what it was for, and I hope it'll be worth it, and that soon the pubs of the UK will be rife with the screams of Mambo Number 5.
I hope so. I really hope so. And that is just A, a fantastic initiative to have all those chants written down. I'm a big fan of a football chant. But B, and I know this is very unsporting, you know, it's not sort of maybe the hyper sort of sporting competitiveness you might expect from sports commentary, but it looks like a very well-produced pamphlet. It looks like high-quality paper GSM.
Your GSM is off the charts here.
Oh, it's gilded. It's beautiful.
It's lovely. It's actually got, do you know what? I'm so glad that Andrew's got this because we were all just discussing about this sort of shimmery effect on the outside.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, if this was your Edinburgh poster, you'd be absolutely delighted, wouldn't you?
Oh, you'd be the belle of the ball at the Fringe. You'd absolutely be cleaning up. That is amazing. I'm a big fan of that chant book. Definitely head down to the Green King, A, to enjoy the fantastic summer of women's sport, and particularly the Women's Euros. Pick up a chant book. Who are your favourites in this tournament? We kick off tomorrow, obviously. Host Switzerland are starting the match alongside Finland and Iceland and whatnot. Who's your favourites heading into this tournament?
I mean, obviously England are going to be the team I'm rooting for. I think we can stand a good chance of doing the double. But I'm excited to see Wales. I mean, they keep getting sort of mentioned as this underdog of the tournament, but they've got such strong players in there, in Jess Fishlock and Sophie Ingle. So I think it'll be really exciting to see them. Not rooting for them too much, because obviously they're in the same group as us.
Yeah, yeah. But, they're in a bit of a difficult
group,
actually.
It's very, very exciting. It's very, very exciting. There's loads of great teams to look out for. I'm terrified of Spain, as I think everybody is.
Of course.
I'm excited. I'm really chuffed for Poland. This is their first time they've qualified, so that's great news for them. And I always love the Swedish kit, so that's always nice.
There we go. So much to look out for. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Wales are in a very difficult group. I think this is their first major tournament, so that'll be really, really cool.
Yeah.
And also, because I don't know, did you see the controversy around the Lionesses merch in a Welsh Tesco? Yeah,
I just.
What I am very hopeful for is the Welsh. They're great at getting behind the Welsh. I'm hoping that spark of controversy from Tesco is enough to just ignite some Welsh anger and get behind the Welsh women's team.
I'm going to be at that game with Susie Ruffle, who I do the podcast with. We're going to the game in St Gallen, the England versus Wales game. And the amount of times I've had to tell Susie that she can't wear a Wales shirt is... I would say bordering problematic.
Yeah, at some point it seems like you are just sort of an English oppressor. If you have to say it seven or eight times,
it's starting to feel a little bit like a rally when I speak.
Yeah, yeah, you can't speak the language, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But she just treats shirts like how everybody else sort of treats like Pokemon cards. She just thinks she can collect them.
She gets really excited
if she gets another one. And I'm like, no, you can't support every team at the tournament. That's not it. But when I say that, it sounds cool, because Susie just comes back with something like, "Well, I just like the women's game. I just really like the women's game."
Yeah, she's really snookered you there, actually.
Yeah, she has. So I've just become everyone's grumpy uncle on the podcast.
And this is, of course, Big Kick Energy. So do go check out Maisie's podcast. If you're interested in women's football, if you're just getting into the game, there's something for everyone. Obviously, Susie started out as a complete novice, and you learn the game alongside Maisie and Susie. Oh, fantastic company! Go check out the Women's Euros. There's so much sport on for the women's games across all sorts of different genres. That's not the right word, is it? Disciplines.
Genres. Let's make us sound like Grammy award-winning artists.
Yes,
I love that.
So many genres, of course. The tennis, Emma Raducanu is making headlines of the tennis. The Women's Rugby World Cup is being hosted in England, of course, this year. There's so much to enjoy. And go have a pint at a Green King pub and enjoy the match. What's your favourite memory of a match in a pub?
Oh, my God, that's a great question. I think I think it would be the Sweden-England game with where Alessia Russo did that filthy back heel goal.
Oh, yeah.
I was in a pub in Brighton watching that with my football teammates, and like we all didn't believe it had happened until we watched the replay, and yeah. It was just like the whole pub was full with people with their jaws on the floor. It was so good. So hoping of lots more moments like that this tournament.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I was about to say about Alessia Russo. Obviously, she was in scoring form on Sunday. If you are keen to see England win, which maybe hasn't been the case necessarily for a long time in the men's game, they have a good. They smashed Jamaica 7-0. 7-0 with Russo on the score sheet, as well as other legends such as Ella Toon and Lucy Bronze. So this might be the tournament to regain a bit of English pride. We could defend our Euro title.
I'm going to give you one that I wrote, actually.
Oh, please,
Because it's a Leslie Russo one, okay? Can you guess what it's to the tune of?
Go on.
Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. So you just go running up, down, left, right. Oh, can't catch Leslie Russo. It writes itself, Andrew. That, it's there for the taking.
That is amazing. That is beautiful. I'm glad we got to experience you singing the chant, and that is a top one. I'm topical.
I'm afraid I don't have the dulcet tones of Sabrina Carpenter.
Well, the thing is about football chants is I don't think you want dulcet tones. You don't want to sound like a choir. You want a bit of oomph behind it.
A good bassy voice is better, I think. Yeah, we don't want harmonising in the pub, thank you.
No, indeed. This sounds right up my street. I'm a big fan of everyone knowing the lyrics, because I go to AFC Bournemouth matches regularly. Everyone's out of sync, everyone's out of step, they don't know what they're talking about. So get a little booklet, we can all be on the same page. But also, I just love the creativity of it all. And the fact that you're on the contributions for this, I know we're in safe hands.
I'm expecting some hefty royalty payments to come through from this tournament, Andrew.
Yes, yeah. Well, you better be signed up with PRS, of course, to get your payments out.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm basically Bernie Taupin.
Well, I would love to be at Elton John if that could be the case. I'll happily rep all of these songs for you. Now,
it's a deal.
Obviously, you are a diehard football fan of Leeds, of the women's game. You're just a great advocate for all sports. Aside from your sort of favourite pub football moment, what is your sporting highlight? I have something that it might be in mind, but I'll ask you, what is your career sporting highlight?
As in, like, what I've watched or what I've played myself.
Just the moment, any moment, whether it's watching, partaking, that was just like, this is the best.
Watching is definitely the Women's Euros final when we won. But I think, personally for me, like, I think maybe playing Soccer Aid the day after my wedding day was pretty good.
What a great 48 hours.
Yeah, that was wild. I shinned Gary Neville and then passed it up to Usain Bolt, which I don't think is a sentence a lot of people can say the day after they got married.
I don't think that's a sentence a lot of people can say, full stop. Never mind that you're still in the wake of your wedding. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was still 99% Prosecco as well, so not bad.
That's a pretty good performance. And of course, you were you won the tournament this year with the rest of the world team. How was that? Was there anybody on your team who you were scared of? Because I know there were some clashes between Carlos Tevez and Angry Ginge.
Do you know what? I tell you who I didn't. I don't know why I didn't expect him to be such a good bowler, but Bella Ramsey can play. Because they're only little. They're quite small, but they were unreal. They were so good. Definitely. And really did that thing of underplaying it in training. I've had a bit of a kick about. Soccer Aid's full of that. I've had a bit of a kick about. And then you watch them on match day and you think, how dare you? You defo could have had a trial somewhere at least. Definitely.
Yeah. You're absolutely sort of not showing us your full hand there.
You're lured into a false sense of security, for sure.
I'd love if the professional footballers were doing that as well. It's like Carlos Tevez, I've a couple of Sunday league matches, nothing crazy.
They all give it as well. I'm not as good as I used to be. And then they're there doing a
bicey
in the box.
I suppose that's a difficult balancing act for Soccer Aid. Is obviously it's all for fun, it's all for charity, but does everyone really want to secretly just show off?
Yeah, basically, everybody uses it as a trial. It's like they think all the talent scouts in the world are tuning in just to watch us attempt to pass to somebody like Rivaldo.
Well, I suppose Usain Bolt did get a professional footballing contract. Was that? I wonder whether that was off the back of when he did Soccer Aid tonight.
I think it was off the back of my excellent pass. Actually, I think that's probably what got it over the line.
Maybe, yeah. He should be. Thank you for giving you royalties. You should be getting royalties for your chance.
Yeah, that's all I'm in this game for. Is the royalties through any means necessary.
Yeah. So get yourself down to a Green King to enjoy all the Euros, the women's Euros this year. Go grab a chanting booklet. Go listen to Big Kick Energy. Look, there's so much. This is such a positive chat, mate. There's so much action to take from this. There's so much sport to enjoy. If you're not into football, obviously the women's rugby is also this summer. There's so much to enjoy. I want to ask you, this is my final question on my prep. You know, obviously you get a prep sheet when you do the sort of PR things. I've been having to edit it on the fly because it's all sort of like, you're known for your quick wit, which you are, but I didn't want to phrase it like
it's
that.
It's weird if you say it like that. Yeah.
But this is the final question, and I thought this was a good one from my lovely producer Kieran, so I wanted to ask you this, because obviously there's lots of fantastic women's heroes across all sports, but we'll stick with football. I imagine that's your area of preference. You know, the legendary Mary Earps, of course. Also, by the way, that's the thing. If you like football for the sort of off-pitch drama, women's football has plenty of that as well. They just have to look at the Mary Earps saga from this season. If you want everything you get in the men's game, it's all in the women's game as well. So, you know, don't snub it. Obviously Mary Earps, you know, championing the goalkeeping kits at the previous tournament. The OG Lily Parr. There's so many women's heroes. Who is your number one sports hero? Who deserves their chant to be belted out in every bar?
I think from across the years, it would have to be Kaz Kearney. She was such an exciting player to watch, but also she's advocated for such a lasting legacy as well with the review that she did into how women's sport can and should be pushed to its potential. So yeah, Kaz Kearney for sure, and she's just an all round good egg.
Fantastic! What a lovely choice. And speaking of all round good eggs, that's you to a T, Maisie. Thank you for joining me.
Stop it. Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks so much.
See you soon, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you soon, pal. Thank you.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. There was my chat with the wonderful Maisie Adam, and joining me in the studio, the even wonderful, I feel like I've used that word a lot today, but I think it's appropriate for today's guest, Lachlan Verner.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I feel like we've had too much time just to chill and chat.
Yeah.
Because we had the pre-record with Maisie. We've just been like chatting for 10 minutes.
Yeah, now actually it's
gonna turn it on.
Weird to like fake saying hello now.
Yeah, we've got to repeat.
But that's showbiz.
That
we
is showbiz.
Have to do it. It's
we're here. We're in the heart of it. This is the beating heart of showbiz right here.
The Pleasance is where it's. That's the dream.
Yeah. Well, you're at the Pleasance in Edinburgh.
Yes.
So yeah, you are at the forefront of
the dream.
Yeah, the Pleasance Dome at 9:50 every day with your show Wonder Twonk. Now, we were talking in the break that there is not a broad awareness of twonk culture. So people might be familiar with twink, sort of slim, hairless, young, gay, under 30, because obviously Troye Sivan just turned 30, experienced twink death. Horrible thing. People don't really know about this.
You wouldn't wish it on your enemy.
No, really. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So twink is the one thing, and twonk is sort of a more muscly twink.
Yeah, it's kind of the Pokemon like evolution. I think is the idea is that you go from one to the next to but it's to avoid twink death. I think is what the idea.
I see. So it's like a transition period of.
Yeah. If you, I guess the thing that makes me laugh so much about it is that there's a part of me that goes. Isn't that just a normal... Isn't that kind of like a stereotypically normal male build?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
What we're describing is like something between slender and like hunky.
Is it the Vitruvian man,
normal.
Literally? Yeah, yeah.
that's kind of the middle ground, right? Like that's... Why is that now a gay bracket? Just like,
I guess everyone just wants something to...
The ideal thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, I got really fed up of people calling me a twink.
That's been slandered at you quite a lot.
Yeah. When I debuted in Edinburgh, a lot of, like Steve Bennett and people that I was...
Really?
Like, I'm not sure if you're allowed to use that word,
I think
actually.
If you're a straight reviewer, especially Steve Bennett, God bless
him. I'm not sure. I feel like it was the first time that it felt like a slur.
Yeah.
was no, like,
but this the transition of twink to slur has been real.
Yeah,
because like people learn that that twink is a subculture of gay, so then they just sort of use it interchangeably. Mm. And now like as TikTok comments like, oh, who's this twink? It's like you're just literally just calling him a faggot, basically.
Yeah, that's actually a child from Stranger Things. You can't say that.
Well, they shouldn't have cast such twinky twinks. All twinks. God bless Stranger Things for their all twink casting. I always say Ryanair as well. God bless Ryanair. They're the first airline committed to 50-50 twink hiring practices. 50% of their stewards are all twinks. They just whisper past you down the aisle. Mm. It's beautiful. God bless them.
Mm. Yeah. So, and like drips off as they walk past.
So you are doing Wonder Twonk. So there you go. Maybe you now know what twonk is, dear listener.
Yeah.
Can you tell us why it's called Wonder Twonk, or is that sort of very interwoven into the show?
It is, but I can kind of say. It's about a kind of circus freak strong man who has been raised in a circus, and he's sort of, I guess it's kind of, it's a bit of a fantasy show, and it's kind of a world where I guess it's implied that he's like the first twonk in a way.
The world's first twonk.
Kind of. It's like this, it's meant to be kind of this freak spectacle that he is a gay strong man. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of about, I guess it's, I was interested in like the fact that twonk as a term exists, and that we have so many of these boxes, and that then identity becomes like such a weird commodity in such a big way.
Yeah.
And so then I was excited to kind of make a show where it was like, what if somebody just was their entire, what if someone was exactly what their label is, and that's all that they know that they are, and they kind of exist only as that. So he really only knows of his existence as this like freak gay strongman thing and nothing else. And then as the show goes on, there's kind of other twisty reveals about what he actually is, and that there's some more,
that's fascinating,
some more strange complex stuff going on.
That's really interesting. That's really interwoven into like loads of gay history and stuff as well. Yeah. With that sounds, I was saying this before, that you're one of the few shows I have highlighted to go see at the Fringe, as well as, and you are one of, I think I've got 12 shows star to go see, and it is, what is that, as a one in six are ventriloquists. so Max Fulham, previously he was my first ever co-host on this show. And you're a ventriloquist as well, because we've been teasing all this exciting content, but yes, there's an extra
we
element
said
of
the obvious thing, which is that I'm doing it all with puppets. Yeah,
with
which
puppets.
Is really has been like, there's a big part of me that wonders if what I'm doing is genuinely crazy, and that like there's going to be a point in Edinburgh where reviews come out and it's like, why did he think he could do such a massive theatre show with puppets? Like, this is just like so complicated, the task he's set up for himself here. And it, like, I'm concerned about the word ambitious this year. That's like the word
that's
that
gonna be...
I'm worried that there's going to be a lot of people saying very ambitious.
Well, is your worst case scenario Steve Bennett saying ambitious twink?
Ambitious twink.
Yeah.
If I get called an ambitious twink, I'm going to never do Fringe again.
It sounds really cool. Also, like, if you go to the Fringe, we were saying before, you know, there's back rooms for pubs. Venue spaces are everywhere. And so often it's like stripped back stand up, just one person and one mic. So I think we need this more. Obviously, there's theatre at the Fringe as well. It's not just a comedy festival.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think in the comedy space, we need more spectacle.
Yeah.
You were saying you were doing a preview season at Rosemary Branch, and you were just like the only person like bringing in flight cases of shit.
Yeah. This is top secret stuff, but there's other people sort of. I feel a bit like the show is like a three-way dance between me and the person who's doing tech, and then one other person as well. So it's kind of,
it's
just ridiculous. And it's not really a solo show, and it's like loading it all in and being like, right, so this is where this has to be for this, and this is where we're doing this bit, and this is where, and when I shine this light on you here, you have to do this. And like, it's just like the most ridiculous, like, it is so elaborate. It's ridiculous, but it's fun. I like it. It turns out, that's sort of what makes me excited about making shows, is to be like, oh, can we go crazy? What if there's a robot that does this?
Well, I'm a big fan of that, and I'm very excited to see it. I say this often, but I think this word is especially apt here, tantalising. Because also, even in the West End, it's obviously very Jamie Lloyd stripped back at the moment, the Avita and the whatnot. Have you gone to see Richard Zegler? On the balcony?
I tried.
Yeah.
I went on a Sunday. It turns out they don't do a show on a Sunday. So, but what I did discover that's exciting about that is that then a large crowd of people still do gather there on Sundays expecting something to happen, which is really exciting to me because it means that there is a captive audience every Sunday in the West End. And we should definitely do something with that.
We should definitely do something. Oh, my goodness.
We've got to get, like, all of the clowns together to, like, do some Evita, like, performance art, something.
I would love to see a sort of, fringe, raucous sort of clown. I don't know the word I'm looking at, like renegade sort of guerrilla theatre Evita for all these expecting people.
I think that's what that space is looking for. But don't tell anyone.
Nobody
tell anyone.
Don't worry, we've only got one listener who texted me earlier saying, what was the message again? It said, leave us MILFs alone. Thank you to whoever that listener was.
We won't.
No, we won't.
We're coming for you.
I told you, of course, the theme of today's show is death to the MILFs. And you were reluctant to fully support that because you didn't know the context.
Anything that gets me in trouble on TikTok or something. That's the
you'll get into whatever you do on TikTok, you're gonna get in trouble.
That's true.
It is. People are so boring. I was saying this about hypocrisy earlier. Everyone is like points out loads of things about hypocritical, but they're just not. And it's like Julia Hartley Brewer was talking about Bob Villain, saying that he's a vegan, but he's performing on a dairy farm. It's like, just get over yourselves. It's like scrambling to the bottom of the barrel trying to find something.
Why are we wasting our time?
I know.
Why? We've got stuff to worry about, guys. Yeah, that's not it.
It really, really isn't. you whatever you do. Although, actually, I've just posted a video on TikTok, not to promote my own TikTok while we have you in the studio, but I just posted a video on my TikTok that, had, for the first time in my life, has exclusively positive comments. It's got, tens of thousands of views and only positive people. Because what I did was, I see how you feel about this. I went down to the Tesco bakery, reduced, full children's fondant birthday cake. So it was a Lightning McQueen one, meant for, 20 plus children. Mm-hmm. As in, not children of the age.
Children who are 20 plus.
No, and it was reduced to £4. I bought it and ate it all myself. And I said, you can do this. You're allowed to do this.
Yeah, you can.
Would you do this?
Would I do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm trying. I think I have done that. I think, not exactly that, but for sure.
Got a sort of mass.
Yeah, done something where you go, that's not what that's meant to be for. Mm-hmm. I'm eating like way more food than I'm supposed to of this. I think when I first, when I moved away from home, I moved to France to go to clown school. And that was like, that was already the worst influence on me ever because I was around adults that were acting like children. And it did mean that I was just like, as a grown up, you can just do whatever you want. Like, I could just eat, just shit all the time. Like, no one's here to tell me that I can't eat cake for breakfast every day. And that, I did have to stop doing that after a point.
That's so interesting. What an interesting dynamic to sort of like arrested development of being around clowns adult children.
Clowns sort of made me grow up in a different way because I was like, actually, I don't want to be like this.
That's so fascinating.
Actually, no, I do. I would like to like be 30 and not be like this.
Yeah. That look rebel against authority is like, well, fuck you, Mum, I'm going to smoke. And you're like, I'm going to actually get a pension.
I would love to. I mean, I don't. I'm no, the same of course as those not. People. Yeah, it's absolutely, I'm in that gang for 100%. But yeah, at the time I was like, okay, this is red flags for my future. I need to watch out.
That's fascinating. That's how long were you in clown school in France?
Almost 2 years.
Wow, that's such a long. Do you speak French?
No.
I suppose it's clown is sort of a universal language.
Yeah, well, the school is taught in English and.
Was it Gaulier?
Yeah, it was Gaulier.
The classic, the OG.
But I was also working as a tour guide in Paris, but again, it was for entirely like American tourists. So I didn't speak any French.
But that's fine. But do you have any Parisian knowledge, or are you just making shit up?
No, I did learn some weird stuff about Paris. I don't know if I can remember much of it now, but I used to do like 5-hour walking tours.
Five hours?
Yeah. And so I knew a lot of weird stuff. It was like, it became my life for a while to be like, why do I know everything about like weird Paris?
Is there a fun fact that remains that sticks with you?
The first thing that came to mind is there was something about... I don't remember why, though. I don't remember why. I wish I could remember the actual fact, but there was something about there being a windmill in, like, the Montmartre area, and someone was angry at someone, so they chopped up a person and hung their, like, remains on a on a windmill, and I don't remember why. I hate that that's the only image that stayed in my head from this whole tour.
The remains of a body on a windmill.
It was the most horrible image, for sure. It was the most upsetting, like...
Windmill Moraines, Paris. Let's see if we can find this. The windmills of Montmartre, yes. The Bluefin windmill is the only functioning windmill still standing in Paris, in one of 30 windmills. I'm just going to Frenchmoments.eu for our fact checking here. Frenchmoments.eu, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's so much windmill chat. That's a really long.
There's a lot of windmill stuff around there, I guess, yeah. Used to be a lot of windmills there.
What?
I don't remember.
What are windmills for, actually, by the way? I should know this. I feel.
Those were for, like, grain, a flour, I think. Right. I think. I don't know. I think something about, yeah, bakeries and, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose, for the croissants and the whatnot. Yeah.
All of the, that's what they're all about.
Do you have a moment where you think, God, I'm actually quite thick? I never
100%
even...
100% me too, all the time. All the time I go, I've just never questioned why a lot of things are the way they are, and I don't... And I'm not even that interested.
No, like, I've got no curiosity.
Yeah.
This is like a running joke in my friendship group that I've got no curiosity. Because we went to a gin tour, and they had... peppercorns that they used to make the gym, but they tasted like lemon sherbet, and they're like, oh yeah, pop them in the mouth, it tastes like lemon sherbet. Wasn't bothered, and everyone's like, oh, you're not gonna, I know what lemon sherbet tastes like. Yeah. I just had no curiosity to find out that these peppercorns
you've
tasted.
Just told me it does. I don't need to see.
Exactly. I've can't be wasting my life fact checking everything.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone in that. Or then also, but simultaneously not stupid enough to be happy in life.
Yeah, I still know too much.
Yeah. A real curse. It really is. Well, look, are you saying, in terms of not knowing too much, you said you don't actually know that much news, potentially, even though this
I mean, I know the big bad stuff, but I know the main...
I like the description of it.
The main awful headlines, but...
Yeah. Well, that's what... We're steering away from the main awful headlines,
okay,
actually.
We're going into
the sort of, like, the bottom page 56 for Metro.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the stuff I'd prefer to wake up to, really.
Yeah.
I think.
So this is, like, fun stuff, and we're going to get you to fill in the blanks of the headline.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the start of something and see if you can put in the missing words. We'll start with this one. Okay. London Underground driver sacked after blank and watching videos at the wheel. So they were driving a tube, they were watching videos on their phone and also doing something else. What was that other thing? London Underground driver sacked after blank and watching videos at the wheel. Going to press you for an answer.
Sneezing. I don't know.
I think sneezing is forgivable. I don't think you should be sacked for sneezing.
But if you would not stop doing it.
Oh yes, you can't sneeze. You got hay fever.
Okay.
Oh god, imagine if you had
sometimes
hay fever on the ground. Go on.
I like to make myself sneeze. Like
looking at the sun.
Yeah, looking at the sun.
Yes.
Yeah. Or I have realised there's like a. This is so gross. I realise there's a. Because I get very hay fevery, it does feel really nice to like sneeze a lot. But I've realised there's a particular like point in my nose that I can like press and it does make me sneeze.
That's magical.
It's a great discovery. This year that's been my favourite discovery is that I'm like, I can sneeze whenever I want. But my sister really hates when I sneeze and we've been travelling a lot. She's teching my show and stuff at the moment and we've been like out in the States recently and stuff, and she just absolutely hates sitting next to me if I'm sneezing. So I think that's why I thought that, because I can imagine someone sacking someone if they were like, you refuse to not sneeze.
Because your sister would sack you.
She would if she could. Yeah.
Well, how do you sneeze? I imagine you're
not that annoying.
No.
Yeah. I think I'm quite a like
demure
delicate
sneezer. Yeah. That's exactly what I had in mind.
Yeah. Yeah, not. I don't make much like vocal sound.
No, not like
I don't
sort
do like
bad sneeze.
It's more just the like spray. But I think. It's annoying for some people, but I admire someone who... I understand that it feels good.
It does feel... I constantly find myself sort of like, let me just get a little bit of sunlight to... Yeah. Oh,
I don't
good.
Know why
it's
you
relief.
Keep sneezing while watching videos, but maybe he was looking at videos of the sun.
Oh, yes, I forgot we started this question.
Yeah, that's why he
I just
fired,
was enjoying the sneezing solidarity.
Yeah, we're with him. We'll start a union for him to get something.
It was actually knitting. They were so
knitting
the tube knitting and watching like the White Lotus or whatever, and somebody filmed them at a tube station in their carriage doing it.
But was the train going?
It was stopped at the time, but I assume the contention is that you literally just have to like press a button and then you knit,
yeah,
knit and then press a button again.
Well, I think that's he shouldn't have been sacked.
Yeah,
I think it sounds like he was doing his job.
Yeah.
and he's maybe it's someone's I mean, this was recently.
This was recently.
Why
like
would
a couple
you
of weeks
knitting
ago.
Though now? Because you can't give anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't give anyone knitwear.
Why are you knitting? That's the main problem we have here.
if this was November, I'd be like, he's definitely got a Christmas deadline.
Yeah, exactly. So solidarity. Speak to your union members. You should be allowed to knit, but only in the winter.
Yeah.
Although maybe they were just fired because they didn't want to expose how easy it was tube driving. We're hurtling towards the end. I've had so much fun with you, Lachlan. We've only been able to do one headline, and I want to make sure we promote your show, Wonder Twunk, 9:50 at the Pleasant Stone, all through August at the Fringe. You can also catch a preview at the Rosemary Branch Theatre on the 20th of July. Follow Lachlan at Lockie Werner, LACHYWERNER. I'm at Stand Up Andrew. This is at FUBAR Radio, at Pulse of the _ Nation. Tune in every week. Leave us a review. Have a lovely, lovely time. Thank you, Lachlan.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye. FUBAR Radio.